Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, we are now into the playoffs, guys, so I'll give you my predictions as far as the first round, all the series there, so we'll talk about that, and we'll do a wrap-up of the teams that are knocked out of the playoffs. We'll talk about that also, and the Angel Reese saga. Oh, I can't wait to talk about that. Sophia Cunningham, Candace Parker, Angel McCautry. I got some words for you. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with All Things Basketball with GD Podcast. And guys, the season is now over, so the die has been cast. We know all the playoff teams. Congratulations to all 8 teams that made it in. Now, here comes the tough part, getting through the gauntlet and reaching the ultimate goal, which the New York Liberty did last season. Can they do it again? We'll see what happens. But we will touch on that. Also, I want to do a wrap-up for the teams that aren't in the playoffs. And then also, this whole Angel Reese debacle that's taking place in Chicago, how they mishandled this thing from the jump. So we'll talk about that also. And then there were some people who actually chimed in on this. And I want to play you the sound. And, of course, you know I got my takes on those ladies who had something to say. So without any further delay, let's do it. All right, so we're going to start with the 1 seed down to the 4 seed as far as the series goes. So that's how we'll do it, and we'll take it from there. So first series I'll talk about, the number 1 seed, the Minnesota Lynx, taking on the 8 seed, the team that actually got in but slid down in the rankings, the Golden State Valkyrie. So for the season series, guys, Minnesota swept them. So they took care of them handily. Now, Minnesota wins this series. And, oh, by the way, these series are the best of 3. And actually, what they're going to do is, which they haven't done in the past, they guarantee both teams having a home game. So there's that. So let me continue. So Minnesota Lynx, for them to win, they win if they get back to their winning ways, guys. They kind of stumbled down the stretch here. They went 3-2 their last 5 games, so they need to kind of get back on track with the, you know, the winning they were doing all season long. And then also they must play tough defense, which they have against the Valkyrie. They have played them pretty tough. In fact, as of recently, they held them to about 28% shooting from the field. Not good, guys. Or that's 28% from 3. Yeah. Any way you slice it, not good. Also, the bench, Minnesota's bench, they have seemed to dominate all season long, and that needs to continue, of course, with DeJounte Carrington, Natisha Heidelman, and all those ladies coming off that bench over there. The Jessica Shepherd also. So they need that. Because you know what the starters are going to give you. So, and then for Golden State to win this series, it's going to take a monumental task for them to do this, guys. Their front court would have to outplay the Lynx front court. And their front courts consist of Janelle Solange, also Timi Fanminle, and also Ileana Rupert. Those ladies will have to at least go toe-to-toe with the front court of Nafisha Collier, Alana Smith, and Bridget Carlton. So Can they do it? I don't know. We'll see. But I think that's the key for me, at least. Key matchups. Fee, of course, against Finlay. I think that's a matchup we'll be looking at. Because Fee, she needs to dominate as she's been doing all season long, guys. So she needs a dominant performance in this series. And then also, Courtney Williams versus Veronica Burton. Mind you, Veronica Burton, fantastic year for her. So she's the catalyst over there. She makes the engine go. So this matchup, I'll be interested to see how that shakes out. And then one that will fly under the radar, Alana Smith. They're dominant big over there versus Ileana Rupert. I think that's a low-key matchup, but whoever has the advantage here, I think this goes a long way for the series. So my prediction here, I think the Lynx get back on track with the winning. I think they take this in two games. They will go. And then the whole thing now is for Golden State, they might not have that game in the Chase Center because they booked something for the day that they may slot it for. They have events going on there. So keep an eye on that situation. Hopefully something happens where they're able to get in there and play because that arena is electric for the Valkyrie. So let's hope they're able to find a way to play on their home court. That'd be great. But I'm going to say Lynx in two games to none. So let us continue. The number two seed, the red hot Las Vegas Aces, guys. They have run off quite a win streak here. I believe it's now at 15 or 16 games now that they've won straight. I mean, it's been phenomenal, guys, what they've been able to do. So let's see. Aces. I just want to, for clarity's sake, let's be clear. They have run off 16 straight. Good gracious. Yeah, and ever since that blowout loss to the Lynx, they've turned their season around entirely. So the number two seed taking on the number seven seed, the Seattle Storm. And actually, in this season series, it's actually tied at two games, guys. And mind you, it was 2-1 the Storm prior to the streak that the Aces went on. So it's a whole different team now, basically. But nonetheless, it's an even series for the season. For the Aces to win this series, I think this is going to be a Jewel Lloyd series, guys. Her second half resurgence, especially her now in the new role coming off the bench, which has taken place since this streak has happened, by the way, guys. She has played well coming off their bench. I think this is going to be a Jewel Lloyd series. And remember, guys, this will be kind of a revenge series, if you will, for Jewel Lloyd, because she was a former Seattle Storm. She was traded, guys. So Jewel Lloyd has a chance to knock her old team out of the playoffs, guys. So that will definitely be a key factor in this series. And then, of course, the bench for the Aces now, which is now rounding into shape big time. Now that you have now Cheyenne Parker-Titus back. She just had her child in July. 2 months later, she's back out on the court. In fact, her last game, she looked fantastic, guys. So You add that kind of firepower to your bench. You already have Dana Evans, Megan Gutherson. You have her as well. You have now, looks like Kirsten Bell, because they're starting the rookie now, unless the rookie slides back to the bench and Kirsten Bell goes into the starting lineup. So we'll see. But if that's the case, Aaliyah Nye, she's rookie who has played well for them, by the way, guys. She's part of that rotation. So nice bench for them, you know. So the bench depth is going to be important. For Seattle to win this series, their big three has to show up, guys, to even have a chance. Neko Nwumike, Skylar Diggins, and Gabby Williams. They're three all-stars, guys. So you have the advantage there. So they have to have fantastic series in order for this to go the distance. And they have to defy the odds, basically. Key matchups, I think Aja Wilson versus Neko Nwumike. That should be a fantastic matchup. I also think Aja will see a steady diet of Neko. Also, Ezzie Magbegor, she'll slide over there to her. And then also off your bench, you have the rookie, Dominique Malanga. So you have her as well that you can put on Aja. You're going to have to find a way to slow her down, guys, because you know she can explode. So I think it'll be a steady diet of those three trying to guard her. Also, Chelsea Gray versus Skylar Diggins. That should be a hot one there, a hot little matchup there. And then Jackie Young versus Brittany Sykes. I think that should be intriguing also. And then I'll add one more. Jewel Loy versus Erica Wheeler, who's basically kind of her replacement in Seattle, Erica Wheeler, who's had a pretty good season, guys. So that should be a nice matchup as well. So my prediction, I kind of went back and forth with this. Seattle does have the manpower to at least squeeze a game out. Yeah, I'll say this one goes to three games with the Aces winning it, guys. I think this could be a chalk sort of series here where each team went on their home court. So I'm going to say it's the Aces in three. All right, so let us continue. The number three seed, the Atlanta Dream, playing well, guys, versus the sixth seed, the Indiana Fever. Now, they went 2-2 in the series. And the last time they played was July 11th. So this is well before the All-Star break. Well before the trade deadline. So the Indiana Fever looks a lot different than the team Atlanta saw in early July. Atlanta wins this if they stay hot. Now, a lot has been made of the Aces, and rightfully so. They won 16 straight. But Atlanta's been hot as well in their last 10 games. They've only lost two, so they're one of the hot teams also. And, of course, they're going to need big series, I think, from Ryan Howard. You know how I feel about Ryan Howard. When she explodes, the team is pretty much unstoppable. And Jordan Canada as well, who seems to be coming off the bench for the moment. Will she start in this series? It's quite possible. Then Tahina Pow, she'll slide to the bench. So there's that. And for Indiana to win this series, they win it if Kelsey Mitchell and Aaliyah Boston goes crazy. I think that will give them a chance as well. And you need your ancillary players to play well. Also, you need the bench production in this series. Damaris Dantas, who's been giving them scoring punch off the bench. Shea Petty, of course, you know, they picked her up once the injuries started hitting the team. Also, Ariel Powers, another vet who's seen playoff action before. You need these type of players, guys, if you're going to have a chance. Key matchups for me, Alyssa Gray versus Kelsey Mitchell should be a fun matchup with those two going at each other. Also, Ryan Howard versus Lexi Hall. Lexi Hall, known for her defense. She's going to have her hands absolutely full with a Ryan Howard. So she's probably going to get some help along the way, but primarily it'll be Lexi Hall on Ryan Howard. And then Brianna Jones going up against Leah Boston. Two ladies with terrific footwork inside. I think whichever lady gets the upper hand definitely goes a long way for their team in this series. My prediction, I know I called the Atlanta Dream Jekyll and Hyde in the past. I think they have to right the ship, especially in this series, a series where they're favored, by the way. So I'm going to say this goes to three games. I'll say it goes to three games, and Atlanta Dream gets the victory in advance to the next round. So, hey, you got to give Steffi White a boatload of credit. You know, guys on socials are down on her. I don't understand why. She doesn't have one of her best players for the bulk of the season and still got this team into the playoffs. So you got to give Steffi White a little bit of leeway here as far as what she's doing. So, but nonetheless, Dream in three games. Let us continue. Now, this is the series. This is going to be a knockdown dragout, guys. The Phoenix Mercury, the 4 seed, taking on the 5 seed, the defending champs, the New York Liberty. In the season series, Phoenix, they took 3 out of 4 games, guys. So there's that. Well, I'll talk more about that in a minute. Phoenix wins if they need to get back to their winning ways. They have lost their last 3 games, guys, all to non-playoff teams. At Connecticut, they lost a home game to the Sparks, who are fighting to get into the playoffs. And they got blown out in Dallas. So, listen, their big three has to play, guys. Alyssa Thomas, Satu Sabally, and Kalia Copper. They have to have very fine series in this one. They have to, guys, in order for them to get the win. And then for the Liberty to win, guys, they have to stay hot. They've won 3 in a row. Going on the road twice, beating Seattle. Remember, they were fighting for position in the playoffs. They beat Washington at home, a game I went to, by the way. You can go to my TikTok. I got footage all over the place there, Instagram. And also at Chicago, they won there. And now they set this stat during the game, and I was like, wow. This is why this is going to be a tough series. With the original starting lineup for the Liberty, that's Breonna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu, Jonquel Jones, Natasha Cloud, Leonie Fiebisch. They are 12-0, guys, with their original starting lineup playing and being together in the lineup. And I'm like, wow. So bear that in mind, guys. When Phoenix got them, they didn't get them completely healthy each and every time. So remember that. But nonetheless, and also, well, I'll mention this in a minute. Key matchups. I think the obvious one is Breonna Stewart versus Alyssa Thomas. I think with Stewie's length, I think she can hold Lissa Thomas at bay from getting her triple doubles and all the things. So I think that's definitely possible in this series. Also, Sabrina Ionescu versus a Kalia Copper. I don't know if Sabrina primarily stays on Copper. I think you could see Leonie Phoebus slide over maybe and guard her as well. But you're going to need somebody to slow her down. But then again, you may need Leonie on Satu Sabali. So there's that. But yeah, so you'll probably see a good amount of time Sabrina on Copper. And that should be an intriguing matchup between those two. And then Phoebus against Sabali. And I think it's bench versus bench, guys. Phoenix bench consisting of Sammy Whitcomb, Dawana Bonner, who's found life coming off their bench. Also, Kalani Brown, they're big over there. Alexa Hell also. And then for the Liberty, you have Emma Mieseman, who's been fantastic coming off their bench, guys. Kennedy Burke, who early in the season, she was playing great, had the injury, has come back and seemed like she's picking up where she left off. So you have her, Rebecca Gardner, who's giving you punch in spots there. Also, Maureen Johannes. Now, she's one who, if she catches fire, all bets are off. So there's that. But nonetheless, guys, and then Stephanie Talbot, if she gets some time in this series, she can be a threat as well. My prediction, guys, I wrestled with this one, guys, but I think the Liberty, now that they're healthy for the most part, oh, by the way, Naya Sabali, Satu's sister, she's back now as well, so add another piece coming off your bench. Both teams very deep. I'm going Liberty. I was going to go chalk, but I think Liberty now have figured some things out. And I was listening to a clip from Sandy Brondello. It's the playoffs now. The slate is clean. One game at a time going forward. So that's how you got to treat it now. And after the Chicago game, which was on the road, they're flying to Phoenix. They're not messing around, guys. They're getting over there so they get the practice and all the things. So they're gearing up. They're getting ready for defending their crown. So should be a very good series nonetheless. All right, guys. So that is your playoff pictures as far as that goes. Let us continue. Let us talk about the teams that are out of the playoffs. We'll go in order a little bit. I'll kind of fudge it a little bit at the end, but I'll explain in a minute. So we'll talk about the ninth team on the outside looking in. The Los Angeles Sparks, guys. And now that I'm doing like a full analysis, I think it was a mistake. They had Odyssey Sims, and I guess once they tried to get their players back, like Ray Burrell and also Cameron Brink, you had to drop somebody. So the axe fell on Odyssey Sims. I don't think it should have, especially given what she's doing for the Indiana Fever. So I think that kind of move cost them, I think. But, you know, you have fantastic seasons from Kelsey Plum, also from De'Erica Hamby. Again, I'm absolutely stunned she wasn't an all-star this year. That's how well she played, guys. Also, Azaree Stevens had a fine season for them as well. But Rekia Jackson, she's got to be a star now, guys. She has to be a star. She has the offensive bag. She got the tools in the toolkit. I think she has to take a major step forward next season for in order for the Sparks to get where they need to go. Also, you need healthy Cameron Brink, who's, you know, they played her low minutes coming off the bench. It'll be very interesting to see how this front court shakes out now that you have Cameron Brink in the mix. So I'll be very interested to see, does a person like Azaree Stevens leave for greener pastures elsewhere? We'll see. But and then Array Burrell. Remember, there's going to be expansion draft, guys. Two teams will be drafting. So do you expose Array Burrell? I think it's dangerous because I think, you know, she's a player. If she's given the opportunity, I think she could shine. So that bears watching also. But the Sparks out of it as far as the playoffs. So, but I thought Lynn Roberts did as good a job as any, you know, given what she had, you know. So, yeah. So kudos. Kudos to the Sparks organization. They seem to be going in the right direction, guys. A piece here and there, and we can see them in playoffs come next season. Let us continue on. The next team I'll talk about is the Washington Mystics. Guys, it seems after that Brittany Sykes trade, the bottom absolutely fell out for this team, guys. After trading Brittany Sykes, the team went 3-13. So that really sunk any kind of chance they had of making a push to the playoffs, guys. But nonetheless, you got fantastic rookie seasons from Sonia Centrone and Kiki Arefin. And I'll say this again, guys, if I didn't say it before, because I actually watched them play in the season finale at Barclay against the Liberty. These two ladies play like veterans, man. I mean, they are out there balling, absolutely balling out there, guys. And this team, to me at least, they're probably a solid point guard away, and I dare I say a quality big away from being a strong contender, guys. I think also Shakira Austin, I think she's expendable. I know I said it last season at the end. I'm going to say it again. I think now you can actually move her because she played a good amount of games for them, guys. It wasn't a season where it was injury riddled as it was in her previous seasons. So she has value. So now is the time to make that move as far as Shakira Austin goes. She's a good player, guys, but I think, I don't know, so is something's askew there as far as her fit with the team. I could be wrong on this, but I think she could be on the move. And then remember, you got a bright future now with Sonia, with Kiki, with Georgia Amore. Remember, she tore up her knee, so you'll have her back healthy for next season. And then also Lucy Olsen, who I thought she showed you flashes of being a person who can play in this league, guys. I think if given the amount of minutes, she's one of those players that can be a solid player in this league. So is she part of Washington's future? I think she should be, to be honest with you. I think she should be a part of it. That's how good she is. But, hey, they're going to have a lottery pick. Maybe they strike gold. They bring in a Lauren Betts. You bring a Lauren Betts to this squad here? Good gracious. I think it's playoffs if you bring in a Lauren Betts around this talent that's here. But Sidney Johnson, I thought he did a great job up until the trade. And then, you know, he was swimming upstream from there. But I thought he did an okay job, all things considered. I would give him another bite at the apple for next season. So there you have it. That's the Washington story. Let us move on. The Connecticut Sun, who started off slow, guys, but they started playing more competitive basketball. Seems like after the All-Star break and towards the end of August, they really played competitive basketball, guys. Salute to the great Tina Charles, guys. She won Dawn Staley Community Leadership Award for the work she does with her organization. So kudos there. She passed the 8,000 point mark, making her and Diana Taurasi the only players in NBA history to reach such numbers. So, and then she became the all-time leader in field goals made, passing Diana Taurasi. So the great Tina Charles still putting up numbers, guys. So there's that. And then Saniya Rivers, guys. I saw the growth in this young lady as the season moved on. I know I mentioned the all-rookie team. I think she has to be in the conversation on the all-rookie team as far as her two-way play. Her defense was definitely top-notch. Her offense starting catching up as the season progressed. But Saniya Rivers, and I think a big thank you goes to Marina Mabry, who her teammate, who kind of they've developed a bond there. So very nice bond that they developed. So So all in all, very nice season for her. And she's one of the building blocks over there, guys, for the Sun. Her, Anissa Morrow, who had the uneven season because of the injuries early, but she seemed to come on late. So there was that. And then also Leah Lacan. I thought she played very well for them, guys. So there you have that. And then remember, they brought in Leah Edwards to that ball club. So that's your foundational pieces, guys. They, too, can use a quality big in the middle. So will they get that? We'll see. Because Olivia Nelson-Adoro, I thought she played better than what she played this season, guys. But there you have it. But Rashid Mezzanine, I thought initially, you know, he heard the boo birds, but I think as the season progressed, they were like, you know, okay. So he too may get another shot at things next season, which I think he should if, you know, you give him a competent roster there. Now, as far as the sale of the team goes, guys, this has become really messy. Now you have involved the Attorney General for the state to investigate the sale of the franchise. So they want to look at that because there was a sale made for $325 million that the league rejected. See, the whole thing is the league want them to relocate, but there's a faction that want them to stay in Connecticut area. So there's that tug of war with that. You know, they were thinking of trying to get them in Boston. So it's a whole mess taking place. And then also the governor, Ned Lamont, he's now exploring the idea of the state itself owning the team. So hopefully we'll see what happens when the dust settles, but This has been a messy situation, to say the least. So we'll see how it goes. But nonetheless, Connecticut Sun, bright looking future. Where it will be, we'll see what happens. So, all right, so I'm done talking about the Sun. The Dallas Wings tied for last. And Coach Chris Kalanis, I think he's out, to be honest with you guys. I think he's out as far as coaching goes. Where you go next, I have no clue where they're looking at. We'll see. But I think for the most part, he's done there. Paige Beckers, of course, probably your league rookie of the year is your building block there. Other pieces, Isaiah James could very well be one of those pieces. Also, too, Kayla Charles, also, she could be a piece also. Diamond Miller, who you brought in, you get a full training camp with her to see what she can do. And then also, Maddie Segrist, who, again, she can score, guys. She can score the basketball. Will she be one of those foundational pieces here? We'll see what happens. But I do think it'll be a long offseason for this franchise. They need quality bigs, guys. It seemed like that's the cry for a lot of these teams on the outside looking in, with the exception of the Sparks. And then what do you do with Arika Ogunbowale? I actually have a suggestion for that, but I'll hold off before I talk about the last team. But I think Arika could be on the move. I think she's another one who could be on the move. So, again, could you do Arika for Shakira Austin swap? Possibly, but I don't see that, because I think Washington wants to go younger. And I think if they bring in a vet, I don't think it'll be a vet that will push to be, as far as a starter goes, I don't think it'll be that, but we'll see. But that one doesn't work. The one I'm thinking about, I'll tell you about in a minute. So, but pretty much that's the Dallas story in a nutshell. And they had a nice big win at the end of the season, beating the Mercury at home. So that gives you a glimmer of hope for the future. So there you have that. And then the last team I'll talk about is the Chicago Sky, coached by Tyler Marsh. My take, first of all, I think the GM, Jeff Alaka, and Tyler Marsh, I think both of them need to go, guys. I think both of them need to go. I understand. I get it. You got rid of Teresa Weatherspoon the season before, but Tyler Marsh, I said maybe a couple of episodes ago, I'm sour on the guy, especially after he pulled that crap with Angel Reese as far as her at the free throw line, how she was told from the bench to miss it. And then when he got in the press conference, he claims he knows nothing about it. That soured me on him big time. But, yeah, I think both of them need to go. So, and this is a franchise, guys, that has already seen 7 different GMs in their 20 years. That's a lot of GMs, guys. So we'll see what happens. But the big story, all that's happening with Angel Reese, guys. And I'm going to set up the timeline as far as that goes. March 3rd, In that game, she records a double-double, a 23rd of the season, guys. 18 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, and a win, actually. But in that game, she does pick up her 8th technical foul, which means she has to sit her next game. So in between that game and the game she had to sit on Friday, she was interviewed by Chicago Tribune's Julie Poe. She was asked a series of questions. She's asked about her, the losing that's happening with the team and so forth. Angel voices her frustration with losing and hoping that the front office gets some free agents in here, because actually prior to this interview, it was said that Courtney Vandersloot plans to come back for next season. Mind you, she tore ACL. She's 36 years old. So her coming back, that's going to be a tough sledding there. But nonetheless, she says she's coming back. So she said, Angel in a nutshell said, we can't rely on a 36-year-old coming back from a ACL tear, which is fair. I mean, but, it's painted as Angel Reese is throwing her team under the bus, which, you got to understand, she's used to winning. At Maryland, she won there. She left from there, goes to LSU, wins there, wins the national title, by the way. So she's used to winning. So when she's losing, it's going to be frustration. That's just the way it works out. So she, so word gets out that she said these things. Of course, it's dealt with in the locker room. And then she talks about it post game. She says, her words were kind of taken out of context. But here's my whole thing. You had a Chicago Sky media person right there when she was giving these answers. So if that's the case, he could have been like, strike it from the record or what have you. He let it rock. So did they deliberately sabotage her? One could go there if you want. But nonetheless, it's quite messy. It's quite messy. So I'm trying to look for, did I do a screenshot of it? So the Chicago Sky, they put out a statement. And I'm going to go to that statement once I find it. Is it here? Yes, I have the statement here. So this is the statement that the Chicago Sky puts out. This is after she goes into the press conference and apologizes. Here's what they say. The Chicago Sky values the safety, respect, and well-being of every player. We are committed to accountability so our players can stay focused on playing basketball. Because of statements detrimental to the team made by Angel Reese during league-mandated media, she will not play the first half of the game on September 7th against the Las Vegas Aces. This was a road game, by the way. This matter has been handled and resolved internally, and we are moving forward as a team. So, this is the statement they put out. And I'm like, this is not good. And then you're going to sit her for a half? Oh, by the way, she ended up not playing that game at all. It said supposedly they asked her, and she's like, supposedly she asked out of it. So, she doesn't play that game. She doesn't play the next two games, including the season ender where they have the Liberty coming in. So she doesn't play in any of those games. So her last game was on September 3rd. So there you have that. And then you get this statement from ending the season from the GM. And here's what he says. Oh, by the way, in that last game, Maddie Westbelt goes crazy, leading a lot of people to say, where the heck you had her hiding? We could have used this kind of scoring punch. But, and then actually she gave a lot of credit to Angel Reese for being in her ear and, you know, telling her, you know, you can do this, you can do this. So, there you go. Angel being a great teammate to her, fellow player there. So there's that. And then it's funny because the Chicago Sky social media team now is like, first of all, they went about a week without a Angel Reese post after they made that statement. So there you go with that. And then you get this statement from, I want to play this. This is sound from Tyler Marsh. This is your head coach. This is prior to the last game of the season. This is the him in the locker room. I want you guys to hear this. Oh, hang on a second.
Big believer in being planted where you are, being the best that you can be, in the position that you are, what you're given, not looking ahead, not looking behind, okay, and it's no, I say that to say, I wouldn't have my first year any other way, with anyone else, I mean that wholeheartedly. Because there's several other first-year coaches in this league that have had a lot of success this year and don't know what this feels like, don't know what the adversity feels like. And nobody is immune from that. Everybody's got to go through the trenches at some point. And mine is just earlier. But it's with people I care about. And now I wouldn't change for nothing.
So that's what he had to say. And I'm like, do you believe this guy? He said he'd rather go through the adversity that he went through this season as opposed to other first-year head coaches. Are you talking about Natalie Nakasi, who has her team in the playoffs as an expansion team for the first time? You wouldn't want to be her? You're talking about Carl Smetsko in Atlanta with the Atlanta Dream, him finishing third in that tough Eastern Conference. You wouldn't want to be that guy? You want to be where you are? Tied for last in the league? Says you rather have the adversity? Come on, man. That's crazy talk. That's crazy talk. Over that alone, I fire you. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You actually told that to your team? Miss me with that. Unbelievable. So that's what he had to say. I'm like, really? Is that what we doing? And then I'm going to find this other thing, the statement that the GM. Yes, here it is. Now, this is from the GM. I don't have the sound, but I have the what he said. Until I hear differently, we're going to move in the direction that she's going to be on the roster. Because obviously they're talking about, you know, what's they're going to do postseason, free agency, and all the things. So he's saying it's going to be business as usual because Angel Reese will be there. I say that's nonsense. You done already burnt the bridges down to the ground. as far as between you and her now, the organization and her. Do her a favor for her own mental health. Get her out of there. Because the way you did her at the end, not good. So there's that. But this is what I wanted to get to. You have three people chiming in. It's more than that, but these are the people I want to zero in on. First, we'll start with Sophie Cunningham, who last we saw, she tore up her knee in a game against the Connecticut Sun and thus is out for the year. So she has a podcast, and it's the whole thing too. All these players with podcasts, I call it the Draymond Green effect, if you will. All these players with the different podcasts. So this, I want to find the sound because I said I was going to save it. Is this it? Yes. Okay, guys, I'm going to play for you what Sophia Cunningham, who's an Indiana Fever. She's not a Chicago Sky, by the way, guys. This is what she had to say.
That's not great. And like, I get it. When you're losing and it's been a frustrating season, like everyone is feeling those emotions. And when I say everyone, like, it's not just her. Like, I'm sure her teammates feel it. Her coaches feel it. The organization, the fans, like literally everyone feels that. And there's some things that you, and this is going, there's just some things that you can't say. And I think one of my biggest things is I'm a very team first person. Like, I always give the team before my feelings. And I think that should be a standard. And so you got to protect your locker room. And so you just can't be saying everything you're feeling, because that just is not a good look. And then your teammates feel a certain way, and that causes division in the locker room. So it's just protect your locker room at all costs. And well, that's not great. And like,
so this is what Sophie Cunningham had to say. The same Sophie Cunningham who the league keeps fining because she's talking about the refs. Some people say the refs deserve it. I understand that. I get that. But this is the same Sophie Cunningham who, well, supposedly she had the affair in Phoenix with this person or whoever it was. I'm not going to go there. But this is the same one who had disparaging things to say about the league wanting to have a franchise in Detroit and basically saying these are not fun towns. Don't have a franchise there. Mind you, Detroit is a place where the league has had success, where they won championships and all the things. So this is the same Sophie as far as that goes. So Sophie, worry about your knee and whatnot. Then we have Candace Parker. Some people are saying that she's doing to her what Shaq has done to Dwight Howard. I think it's a little bit more than that. I think something's going on here. And then you have also Aaliyah Boston chiming in on this. My thing is, you got a locker room of your own to worry about. Same thing with Sophie Cunningham. Worry about your locker room and not what's going on in another locker room. I'm just saying. So this is Candace Parker, who a lot of fans are sour on these days. This is her, what she had to say. Take a listen.
In public and front-facing things, you have to protect your team and your organization no matter how you feel. And there were so many bumpy rides with the Sparks that I've had. And I think the best advice that I ever received was to keep things in-house. You can yell, scream, cuss, do all those things in between these walls, but you can't bring it out. And once that happens, it's hard to gain that trust back. And so I think Angel taking the steps of apologizing publicly is huge. But I also feel like there is a little bit of a need, even more so, for the understanding of how sacred the locker room is. And now what is the next step? How do you gain that trust back? And I think that's where her mind has to be right now, is like, how do I get the trust back? Because everybody can throw out leader, but it does take a lot to be a leader in public, in front.
So this is Candace Parker. Here's the problem with what Candace Parker had to say. Your first few years in the league, you had leaders like Lisa Leslie. You have had other leaders as well in your locker room. Angel doesn't have that. So, you know, you have Elizabeth Edwards, but she's kind of quiet, you know, and you have other people in there, but she's kind of been thrusted into that position, if you will. So for you to have this take, you got to read the room. Who is that leader she can lead, that veteran she can lean on in her locker room? She don't have it. So you kind of talking out the side of your neck once again, Candace. I'm just saying. So there's that. And then Angel McCautry. You got to hear this one, guys. Angel McCautry, a player who, listen, she has been a star in this league, five-time All-Star, multiple-time gold medalist, all the things. This is what she had to say in regard to Angel Reese. Listen to this.
She can deliver. I'm all about saying what you feel, right? We don't hold stuff in, but it's just how we say it. You never want your teammates to feel like, because they're already looking at you like you have everything, right? Like you said, they don't have million-dollar endorsement deals, but they're having a losing season too. You know what I would do, Angel? I would get one of my endorsements, say, give me an extra $100,000 so I can give all my teammates 10 just to show them I care. I would do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That puts you in a limelight of like, wow, let's set this girl up. The owners will look at you like the GMs, and then they'll make sure they set you up for success. But when it's like, I got to take care of me, and don't make it sound like it's just all about you, especially when you're such in a blessed position that other girls will never see. Because they're losing too. She can deliver.
That's what Angel McCautry have to say. With all due respect, Angel. Angel talking about another Angel. You're talking wild here. How you basically said Angel needs to buy the loyalty and the respect from her locker room. What the hell? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me with this? That's crazy talk. And first of all, you pocket watching, which is a no-no. How you pocket watching? I'm just saying, that sounds ridiculous. That sounds crazy. What? Throw the... It don't even sound right. And then, who are you going to ask for $100,000 so you can take care of your teammates? Really? Is that what we're doing? And you know... That had to be the craziest take I've heard out of everyone on this subject. But nonetheless, I'm going to leave it where it is. I'm going to be respectful. But Angel McCautry, you are talking insane right now. Insane. But I digress. I'm going to leave it alone. But the last thing I will say, like I said, Angel Reese, Chicago, it's been nice. Let her go somewhere else. Great place to send her, Dallas. Like I said, Arika Ogunbowale, you need guard help. Bring in Arika Ogunbowale. You're bringing back Courtney Vandersloot. Put her with Arike. So your trade is Ogunbowale for Angel Reese. And if I need to throw in another person, throw in Maddie Westbelt and let her go ahead with her since they're so tight. So I'm just saying. Or somebody else, for that matter. Camilla Cardozo, I feel bad for her because, you know, she's got to be there in it. But, and Chicago has a long history, and Candace is included in that history of players who end up going elsewhere, who seen their handwriting on the wall in leagues. She's seen it. Kalia Copper, Elena Deladon. I could go on, guys. But, oh, also Hall of Famer, Sylvia Fowles. She's been through that over there. So, just miss me with all that nonsense. and do the right thing by Angel, send her elsewhere. Dallas would be a great place. Her and Paige Beckers, I would love that. But what can you do? All right, guys, I'm going to end it there. Thank you for listening as always. Guys, I'm approaching 300 episodes. I'm going to have a special episode. In fact, I'm going to create a clip talking about that. So all that's coming down the pipe. NBA season's about a little more than a month away, so we'll be getting geared for that as well. But anyhow, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you find all the clips, all the full episodes. On YouTube, I'm there, guys. Podcast platforms on all those, Apple and all the things. Also, donate buttons on my website. In the scroll is my Cash App, as you can see. And then also Buy Me a Coffee, PayPal, Spotify. Those are donate buttons as well. Socials, Instagram, TikTok, even though it's changing up, we'll see what happens with that. A little bit of Facebook, a little bit of Blue Sky. Thank you for listening. As always, we'll talk soon. Take care.